Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and this is Inga again. And today I wanted to talk about something that has been on my mind for a really, really long time. And it's about the ancient Hawaiian practice of forgiveness, the Ho'oponopono. I first heard about it, I think, about maybe 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago. And it did work a very important miracle in my life, actually. It was a case of someone who was, it seemed like, you know, this person had lost everything, and we have just been discussing that, you know, sort of what sort of a mess he was. And a spiritual teacher of mine suggested that we do the Ho'oponopono. So a couple of days later, this very same person, it was really a long, sad story. You know, he worked for a fraud company, cheating clients all over the world, lost everything, got evicted from his apartment. All those long, crazy stories. But what happened was, so eventually, of course, he was near suicidal. After we practiced Ho'oponopono on him, a couple of days later, he sent a message, and he basically came, I mean, not to perfection immediately, but he went through a spiritual conversion experience after really having hit the ground and saw the oneness of all things, so this experience of love for everything and all things being one. And although I know that, you know, this particular person is still struggling with figuring out life, that whole week, so literally within 2 or 3 days it happened, when suddenly the whole tone transformed and he wanted to go to, you know, do the Vipassana meditation all of a sudden, and, you know, go explore spirituality while experiencing this very deep encompassing love for everything and everyone in the world, even if misplaced or, you know, still baby steps. And I see this as an incredible miracle that really showed me the power of forgiveness as practiced by Ho'oponopono. So what is this practice about, and what is the background, and why did I want to share? It's a little bit of a tricky practice sometimes, because you can see it from the perspective that you take responsibility for everything that is happening around you in the world. All the bad things that are happening in the world or to you are your responsibility. And this may sound like very harsh or unfair or, you know, skewed to the over-responsible side, but that's not at all what Ho'oponopono is about. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about in this podcast, and also do a simple exercise as well. So on the surface level, really, Ho'oponopono is this mantra that you can say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And it's one of the techniques for clearing karma and clearing the relationships between you and other people. And it's a forgiveness and reconciliation practice. So really cleansing those errors of thought, putting right whatever has been done wrong. So first and foremost, it's the practice of reconciling between two people, or between, you know, person and a larger community. And of course, the question comes in, well, but if the offender is the other person, why should I be sorry? Like, starting with, I'm sorry, when you want to reconcile or bring peace between you and an offender, seems like a counterintuitive thing, right? What do I need forgiveness for? Or if you don't feel, you know, you just don't feel you need forgiveness for anything. So when I guess Ho'oponopono was brought to us by Dr. Hugh Lin to the larger Western audience. That's how most of us have heard about it for the first time. And Dr. Lin is also the teacher and the propagator of the practice nowadays. So the story of him working with Ho'oponopono is perhaps the best explanation of the practice, and some of you may have heard about it. He went to work in a prison for the criminally insane, and it was really a place where nobody wanted to work. They switched psychologists every month because you know, it was a crazy crowd, literally. And, the psychologists didn't feel safe. The criminals were in shackles and in handcuffs. They could not walk without shackles because they were aggressive and dangerous to themselves and others. Everyone would walk with their back towards the wall so that they wouldn't get struck because they would get beaten because the guards were so terrified of the prisoners that they would, you know, beat them even if nothing was happening, just at the slightest suspicion that maybe they were up to something. It was a very dangerous, very tense environment where everyone was afraid of everyone else and things were just deteriorating, so no psychologist could really handle it. And Dr. Hugh Lin was asked to work there, to work in this environment, and it could have been very suicidal. So really, no family visits, no one could leave the building. It was a terrifying environment. They had about 30 people, I think, around 30 prisoners. Everyone tried and failed. So he decided what he was going to do was not to talk to prisoners or to try to fix them or to try to work his psychiatric magic on them or to heal them. What he decided was quite radical and groundbreaking. He decided he will work with their pictures in his office. And he would take picture one by one, and he would ask for their forgiveness. And he would ask for healing in himself, the flaws that he saw in them. And he would just say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you," over and over again, asking to heal in himself that whatever made them or whatever he saw in them. So, a year and a half later, none of that was happening anymore. No one was walking in shackles. No one was having shackles at the ankles and wrists. No one was kicking and slamming. People were going out on bus rides. The medications dropped. Some of them were still taking medication, but they did not need to be so heavily sedated. The guards were happy going to work. The whole climate and the atmosphere changed. But Dr. Lin said, "Well, what did I do? I only worked on myself. I actually did not work with the prisoners. I took 100% responsibility for every darkness and every aspect within himself." And I know this story sounds fantastical, perhaps even, or totally impossible, but so is the level of commitment and the level of willingness to take 100% responsibility. So perhaps that's why it sounds so fantastical, that we have never really tried to take this type of responsibility ourselves. And I'm going to digress here for a moment because I wanted to tell you another story from a completely different perspective, from Kabbalistic Judaism, about one of the descendants of Baal Shem Tov, who was, let's say, a mystical teacher. It is also a story about healing the parts of us that cause the sinner to stumble. And you might find an interesting parallel in terms of personal responsibility, because actually the Kabbalistic teachings were very, very similar to the core concept of Ho'oponopono, that we find in ourselves the darkness that we see in the world, not to that great degree, perhaps, not to the extent that we can see it on the news or to something in something being done to us, but there is a tiny, tiny, maybe a very minute speck of darkness within us that is reflected in the mirror, in everything that is happening around the world. Because if we are completely free of blemish and sin, we would never encounter vice in the world. We would not be able to see it in others or even hear of its occurrence. Do you know how different people perceive the situation in the same way, right? You can see great help, kindness, charity happening, and someone would just see a disaster or misery. Or, you know, you would go into a poor slum and see charity, kindness, and openness, whereas some other person would just see poverty and misery and be completely heartbroken. So this is something around these lines. If this is not in you, you are incapable of seeing it in the outer world. That's the background for this type of thinking. So when a person witnesses wrongdoing or even hears about it, he knows beyond a shadow of doubt that that very same flaw now exists inside himself. So here's the story from Jewish teaching, and I think you might find it interesting. So there was one rabbi who traveled through the villages of White Russia with a small group of students. And they stayed a few days in each town, where the rabbi answered questions, counseled, gave blessings. And so one afternoon, this rabbi excused himself and retired to his quarters. And this was highly unusual, but, you know, the students assumed he needed a rest and expected his return in an hour or so. And he didn't appear. So then they went to see what the problem might be. And when they approached his room, they heard him crying and reciting psalms. And one student was so overwhelmed by his, you know, sincere weeping and recital that he even fainted. So he was really pouring his heart out, weeping and crying and reciting the psalms, and it sounded like he was repenting of sins. So they returned to the group, and then everybody recited psalms and prayed to support the rabbi's efforts for whatever he was praying. But later in that same evening, when they had a prayer meeting in the synagogue, the rabbi spoke on the power of tears, the scripture, and psalms to cleanse the soul. And he rested the entire next day and only returned to receiving visitors on the following day, on the next day. So they did find it a little bit strange that he was so overcome with repentance and cleansing the soul, particularly, and he was reciting prayers that were particularly focused on repentance. So after some time, one student asked the rabbi what happened that day. And the rabbi got very sad, and he explained that he learned this practice from his holy grandfather, and who was also a rabbi, who heard it from another rabbi, and that rabbi learned it from the Baal Shem Tov, who was this teacher of mystical Judaism in Eastern Europe. And the teaching was that when a person comes seeking advice for his problems and rectifications for his sins, he finds the subtle point inside himself that exactly mirrors the blemish of his soul. And from that place, he does his own repentance. and suggest the solution. So he does not go into other person's issues, but he looks within himself, right? He says, I find the subtle point inside myself that exactly mirrors the blemish of his soul. And from that place of my own repentance, I suggest a solution. So on that day, a person came with a story, and the rabbi said, I was disturbed by his words, repulsed even. I couldn't find any place inside me that identified with his sin. It was unthinkable. And this was frightening because the mirror never lies. So the rabbi believes that everyone we meet and everything that happens to us is a mirror. It's a mirror of either our flaws or our good things or whatever needs to be transformed or whatever we need to be grateful for. So he says the flaw had to be there, yet I was unaware of it. As long as it lurked in the subconscious depths of my heart, its influence would remain outside my control. It would stay the master of me rather than me being the master of it. So immediately he conducts a personality inventory to find the flaw and does the repentance for the concrete expressions in his behavior, even though they were very, very subtle. But what happens is that by bringing that flaw into conscious awareness, he says, I also brought it under my control. And further, the rabbi says, this is also the most powerful way for me to help the man whose story I heard, more potent than rebuke or even advice. My own repentance, prompted by his confession, brought healing to him from the inside out. The rabbi further says that the souls of the righteous man are connected to all the individuals of their generation and exert a constant influence of them. So the most subtle lapse in a behavior or even thought of the righteous man, oh, I think we can extend it to all of us, really, or at least to the, you know, extent of the advanced souls. And the most subtle lapse in behavior or even thought can cause gross stumblings in those around us. The mirror never lies. So this person, this rabbi, he took responsibility, and he said that I was the cause for this man's sin, the sin that seemed so gross, so horrible to him. And so what he did was he said, I repented both for myself and for him. And the more conscious one becomes, the more repentance one must do. Right? So to me, this story is a direct contact with the Ho'oponopono practice, which is, you know, an ancient pre-Christian practice from Hawaii, where both the rabbi and the Hawaiian sages realized the essential oneness of all things, that we influence over the world. And not the other way around, as we would have liked to think. Now, I don't want to oversimplify that. Of course, it's not that simple, but that's not the point. The point is that really the only person that we can heal and transform is ourselves. But what it does, once we take full responsibility for everything we see and experience in the world, we can also start healing the world and start transforming the world. We start influencing the world. We get in the driver's seat. So I guess what I have to say about Ho'oponopono again is really the wisdom is accepting the light, being in that void where nothing, where without arrogance, where you accept the light, where you let the light come through. And it's a tuning fork, really, that allows the practice of Ho'oponopono is a tuning fork that allows purity to come through. And it's really tapping into this new level of awareness. And it's true that I believe every culture that has existed upon Earth has had those same principles. Now, I'm sure that, you know, a European rabbi has never been to Hawaii and never heard of Ho'oponopono. And yet he was preaching the exact same thing. Everything that happens to us is a mirror. The Hawaiian tradition teaches that all life is connected. So Ho'oponopono is not only a way of healing ourselves, but others and our world as well. And I'm telling a lot of my clients who come and ask, well, what is my mission in life? What am I supposed to do? And we have all struggled with that at some point in our lives or others. But what I'm always saying is, look, yes, you're here for a mission and you can grow it and you go out more and brighter and you shine your light more. But your mission, your primary mission, when you do the most work, is healing in yourself that which you have connected with in the world. Because we are connecting very broadly. We are connecting to everyone we meet, and we carry their flaws as they are carrying ours. So when you work through yourself, when you work through the stuff that you are carrying within you, when you take this full responsibility for your own healing, this is your greatest mission. And believe me, it's not a small job. It's sometimes completely excruciating just choosing to take this responsibility, refusing to blame the others, because it's so easy. So this is the greatest work and mission that we can ever possibly do, working on ourselves. Dr. Len was doing in the prison, right, in that insane asylum. He was sitting with pictures, and he was asking for forgiveness for his sins and theirs, for everything that was inside of him that caused these men to stumble. And perhaps words are not even quite appropriate to expressing how this works, right? You do have to practice it. You do have to work through whatever comes through you. But the core of this practice is taking responsibility for more than yourself, but actually taking responsibility for the whole world, because you are in me. And I am in you. The whole world is a reflection of you. So for him, for Dr. Len, the way of expressing Ho'oponopono, it contained, you know, a certain kind of awareness that whatever we find in others and in the world outside ourselves is somehow caused by those errors in thought, in, you know, the subconscious that is stored in our personal and our collective memories, in our energies, from whatever we have from the ancestry. And in Judaism, the thought is quite similar, that we carry those sparks within ourselves. And as we clear them and release them, we also release others and allow them to go more fully towards the light. That's why this rabbi was so intent on repenting for his own flaws, because he knew that as soon as he found this thing in himself, he would release the other person, and both sparks would be released, and the other person would be free of sin as well. Now, that's quite a beautiful idea, right? But practicing Ho'oponopono, or any other practice of personal responsibility, of really acknowledging that the sin that I see in others is a reflection in some form or other of perhaps a very, very minor but similar flaw within myself. And so we clean those errors from the collective memory, whether we're consciously aware of them or not, but we release them for the whole host of souls and the whole collective. And this is where healing happens, right? And that's why a year later, no one of those criminally insane was in shackles, half of them went off their medicine, and everyone was smiling and happy going to work, not terrified anymore. What changed? Well, there was just one man who assumed responsibility for everything that was going on. So I have a simple exercise that you can also think of when, if you want to heal. Well, let's not start with the whole world, but let's start with maybe someone you have an issue with. So maybe let's just try and center ourselves, and you can practice this whenever you like. Center ourselves and imagine someone that you still have an issue with, the first person that comes to mind, really. Someone you couldn't forgive, or someone where you know there is no peace between you. And perhaps you can sense or imagine that person right in front of you. You are facing each other, looking into each other's eyes. Just look them in the eye as they sit or stand in front of you. And say the following out loud until you feel completely at peace. Just like me, this person is seeking happiness in his life, or her. Just look at them and say this out loud. And you can repeat that as many times as you need to. So just like me, this person is seeking happiness in her life. Just like me, this person wants to be loved and accepted. Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in her life. Just like me, this person has known sadness, loneliness, suffering, and even despair. Just like me, this person has felt abandoned, rejected, misunderstood, and not good enough. Just like me, this person is seeking to fulfill his or her needs. Just like me, this person has good days and bad days. Just like me, this person makes decisions without full thought or consciousness. Just like me, this person is learning about life. Take a moment now to honestly reflect on how you, at times, have behaved like them, or maybe felt the way that they do, or maybe wanted to behave like them. Just allow incidences to come into your awareness. Maybe they were of a different scope, but that's all you could allow yourself. Maybe if you had more opportunities, also the scope would be different. Or maybe you knew more light than they did. That acceptance of light is also part of your light story, part of your soul history. Maybe theirs was different. Maybe they had to fight more darkness in their past lives, in this life. But allow those incidences to come into your awareness. Don't censor or justify or explain. Just reflect on how you at times have behaved just like them. And say these words: I recognize that in me. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I recognize that in me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I recognize that in me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And you can really keep saying that until you feel totally at peace regarding this person. Keep saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. Until you feel that, yes, we have healed, I feel at peace. To my husband or wife, my children, my mother and father, my sisters and brothers, my relationships, past, present, co-workers, and anyone in the world I have hurt in any way, intentionally or unintentionally. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. So, you can do this practice really any time you feel there is a need for peace between you and another person. And I do understand that there is a paradox here, what Dr. Len is advocating, the sort of the development of personal power to change the situation, right? And increasing personal responsibility. And what you do is you take full 100% responsibility for clearing up the discord. But it seems that it absolves the other person from their responsibility, right? What about that sinner? Maybe he killed someone in the rabbi story. Or, you know, what about that person who offends me? And what am I supposed to do now? So, you know, he comes back in and I'm supposed to accept this again. So the paradox exists, and we do have indeed to bear it, but we also have to remember that separation is an illusion. It's not, well, it's real in the sense that we do live in 3D reality where separation is very, very real. We cannot travel, you know, 20,000 miles in a minute. It is a reality that exists. The genders are separate. The people are separate, right? The night and day are separate, etc. But it's not the only reality that exists. On a deeper level, on a higher level, and where there is more than three dimensions, we're all one. He's in you, in him. You are in me, and I am in you. And this is where Ho'oponopono begins to be a mystical practice, right? A spiritual practice, where the reality is, where you adjust the reality within. And through that, you adjust the reality without. You accept that what you see is not the only thing that is real out there, but there is a reality beyond, beyond your 3D consciousness, beyond separation. So you're really working on dissolving the separation, on understanding that separation is an illusion, and you are becoming one with everything in the world. So, of course, this is a practice that I would recommend on working on if you need to correct errors and disputes and coming, I guess, yourself right with people, whether living or dead, where you need reconciliation within yourself. And for some, it's really more like a family therapy and reconciliation. But I'm seeing also a deeper spiritual aspect, this way of healing the world and gradually learning to accept responsibility. And of course, it's not the practice that you should do in crisis or where you're picking at the last straws. Ideally, this should be a practice that you're doing every day. And then when the crisis strikes, you already have the roots and the strength to deal with it as well. So, but when the crisis strikes, it can be one of the most helpful practices, and one of the most healing ones if you do it with the right heart and really go through, you know, let's say dissolve all those barriers and be willing to bear this paradox. I take 100% responsibility for the world. I can't see it. I may not even for one moment logically accept that I'm responsible for everything that happens in the world, but I choose to do it. So I really do believe that this healing and the clearing are possible, and that's why I'm sharing this practice with you, and I try to work on it regularly, and I would also encourage you to go in that direction if this is something that appeals to you and something that you find interesting, because personally, I think that it brings up some of my inner discord or my own stuff, but it acts like a tuning fork, if you wish. It clears the energy as much as it clears the thoughts and the mind and the space between you and the people you're working on as well. But I find it very simple, and it's beautiful, and you can put in different intentions, and it grows. It grows you. Intention becomes more and more pure. So this is something to think about. That I wanted to share with you today. And thank you very much, and I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you.